Growing up, I have to admit, the only hymn that I could tell you where to find it in the hymnal was Holy, Holy, Holy. That in the Baptist hymnal I held as a child, and in fact, in every hymnal, in every church that I have been a part of, it has been hymn number one. It's by Reginald Heber, written for Trinity Sunday, composed in 1826, but its message is timeless. It's a different kind of hymn, that when I sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, I feel close to God because Jesus is with me. Jesus is my friend. But Holy, Holy, Holy is a hymn that we have to sing together. And when we do, God becomes bigger and greater than any of us could ever imagine. Which means we might feel smaller. And strangely enough, that can be quite comforting. That oftentimes, if we say we feel small, it's a negative feeling. That we feel insignificant, unnoticed. But the smallness in Holy, Holy, Holy means that we are particularly significant to God. And it's the same in Psalm 8, where the psalmist says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them. That when the psalmist looks at the beauty of creation, the psalmist feels small. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, that you have made them a little lower than God? That small does not mean unimportant. That if we look at creation, we might feel small. That William Brown, professor of Old Testament at Columbia Theological Seminary, reminds us that we estimate there are 100 billion galaxies in all of creation. And in all of those galaxies, in each of those 100 billion galaxies, we estimate there are 100 billion stars. That we cannot wrap our minds around the vast size of creation, and in the same way, we cannot fully comprehend the majesty and mystery of God. On the first day of class in Theology 101, my professor said, look around the room, look at all four walls in this classroom. These walls represent everything there is to know about God. And then he got up from his chair and he walked over to the corner of the room and he took a pen out of his front shirt pocket and he made the smallest dot you can imagine on the wall. And he stepped back and he pointed at it and he said, that dot compared to all these walls and everything there is to know about God, that small dot represents everything that humanity has ever learned about God collectively throughout history. That we are a mere fraction of the tapestry of creation. And yet, God is mindful of us. When we read the story of creation, you know, where we're counting to seven, we like to pause on the sixth day because that's when humanity was created. That we read the sixth day like we send a text in all caps. Everything is more important on the sixth day. Even though the story of creation puts the emphasis on the seventh day, that we're all supposed to pause on the seventh day to remember and recognize the steadfast love of God. But we like to pause on the sixth day to make humanity feel a little bit bigger and greater. But we have to read Scripture carefully and closely. Because humanity's not the only thing created on the sixth day. That if we're paying attention, that God also created cattle, wild animals, and all creeping things. That you and I share the sixth day with all domestic animals, all wild animals, and every creeping thing on the ground. And when I was a boy, still digging in the red clay of Georgia, looking at all the bugs on the ground, fascinated by them, I love to find roly-polies. For some reason, they were my favorite. Because when you picked them up and held them in your hand, they always instantly rolled up into a little ball. But there's nothing spectacular about a roly-poly. And we share the sixth day with them. It can make you feel rather small. Where we don't pause on the sixth day, we pause on the seventh day, recognizing the majesty and mystery of God. But small is not unimportant, because God is mindful of us. That there is comfort in a small life, because there are days when our problems feel so big. That we can start Monday morning with a small concern, but because we're worried about everything that might happen, we are overwhelmed and burdened by something big by Tuesday afternoon. That the more we think about it and turn it over and over in our minds, well, what if this happens? Well, then that'll happen. Well, what if then that happens? Everything will fall apart. That it's the same thing that happens when we have an injury. We fall. We sprain our ankle and it swells. That inflammation is a normal part of the body's response to an injury, but it causes pain. And if it's prolonged, it can become a serious problem. That our small concerns can become inflamed and feel so big. But not all of our problems start small. Sometimes they start big. They start big and catch us off guard first thing on Monday morning, and we're not sure we're going to make it to Tuesday afternoon. That we are overwhelmed, and for good reason. That none of us can carry those burdens alone. But if our lives are small and yet still important, we find comfort in knowing that God, who created everything, is mindful of us. That the God of holy, holy, holy stands with us and stays with us. Which means there is nothing so big in this world where even doing something small does not matter. That even the smallest word, the smallest prayer, the smallest act or gesture matters a great deal. Because we are a part of this endless song of the steadfast love of God. That none of us have to do it alone. We join our voice with this larger song of grace and justice. That we are a part of what God is doing in this world. That small does not mean unimportant. Whether we are overwhelmed with our burdens, or whether we are trying to serve the needs of others as they carry theirs, that we are always a part of something bigger. A love that created this world and everything in it. Amen.